Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. And I'm coming to you from beautiful Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia. And my guest today is coming to you from Los Angeles, I believe. Gosh, I'd have to have another look, but I'm pretty sure it is Los Angeles. So, yes, we're having an artist on today, and his name is Michael. And what I'm really going to dig down into today is really the beauty, not so much the beauty of art as in the final product, but the beauty of art in the creation of it and how we actually get so involved and in the moment that it can produce so many wonderful opportunities for us. And it's going to be really interesting, but I'm not going to talk too much about it because you know what I'm like. I can talk all day. I am going to bring Michael on. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, Susan. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for giving me a canvas to paint. And go ahead. What's your question? I answer. And by the way, I'm already in an altered state. That's why I'm a little confused because your introduction music is like you're mastering, putting me in an altered state already. So you can make money with that. Just make a short audios with your music and with your voice. Yeah.
and it's very true too, because it's not just what you're creating, it's how we feel as we are creating and how we grow and develop. But Michael, I want to get a bit more understanding of you and how you got to where you are today.
I was born in Vienna, Austria. I was a sick child, and when I hit school, when I was seven, I got hit by the second avalanche that is called dyslexia. It's a neurodiversity, and I wasn't aware till about 50 that I also have dysgraphia. And dysgraphia, what dysgraphia means is dyslexia, I think everybody knows. You switch up words, you think it's 13, but it actually, you read 31, you think you're reading 13 and you're saying 31. So it can be any way or form or switch letters. And then when you read them still right. You read them right for yourself. But if you give it to somebody else in school, obviously that doesn't work. Dysgraphia is the following thing. I can read something that you legibly wrote about 10 years ago. When I write my own legible, what I believe is now legible, I can write something in like 5 hours, I can't read it. I cannot decipher it.
Time frame, is it, with the dysgraphia?
Yeah, It's my brain cannot recognize my expression.
Oh, wow.
That's a new thing, a new discovered thing. And I was so struggling with writing perfectly, everything. But it's also connected to dyslexia. Dyslexia is about not regurgitating. So I can't regurgitate. So I was on 130 different podcasts and TV shows and radio shows in the last 8 months. And it was no problem and everything is perfect. But would I have prepared for those shows? I would have stuttered. I would have stopped. I would have lost my train of thought. And so I have to learn, as a dyslexic, I have to learn to be in a moment.
Oh, and that is... As hard as that is also brilliant, isn't it? Well,
Superpower.
Yeah.
It's a superpower. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It pushes you into the superpower of being in a moment.
Yes. Yes. I really like that. Okay. So that's the dyslexia. Can you go through that dysgraphia again? Because I have never heard of it.
Yeah. I think nobody knows anyway. We don't know anything. We don't know even how water goes against gravity up into leaves. So we really pretend in the system of Monopoly that we know everything, but we don't. What my perception of experiencing it is that you write something down in space and time, and then you're accessing in another space and time, but you cannot recall, because everything is vibration. So what I am putting on paper is perhaps distorted in time space that you cannot recognize it.
Okay, so let me see if I've got this right and correct me if I'm wrong. Because everything is energy, like you say, you're writing something down with your energetic tone. You're angry, you're writing it down like you're angry. Or if you're happy, you're writing it down like you're happy. When you go back to that in 6 months' time, mm-hmm. 5 years' time, whatever it is, you don't pick up the same tonings that you have written down originally.
In five hours, I cannot decipher it. I cannot decipher what I wrote. So I write always I only type, because I have a notepad here, but if I don't look at it within an hour or so, I don't know what I've written. So I'm transcribing constantly. I'm having a voice recorder that I constantly have with me. And instead of taking notes, also mental notes, because as you know, ADHD and stuff, we are always out of time space. We're moving everywhere. So we are not just right now here. We're just moving anywhere. And the only way to is focusing on time space on right now. So I'm not right now. I'm not thinking about, oh, I have to run the dog. I have to pay bills. I have to go grocery store. That would be the worst thing right now. I would have totally lose the conversation. But other people can do it. And in society and science, we have found that we can't really multitask. And if there is a tendency of multitasking, women can do it better than men. Mm. So me as a man, I'm already disadvantaged of multitasking. But the dyslexia and the neurodiversity makes it even harder. And it's about, people said it's about 20%. And I'm also an advocate to understand that disease. I wrote a lot of articles, and I can link those or send those articles that you can include them in this episode. But what happens is that I think 20%, what they find out more and more, are dyslexic, 20%. And in one or other form, dyslexia. And dyslexia is so hard for systems because it can't be defined as such. It cannot define. So for what I am, my problem with whatever, for example, my problem with numbers can be another person's strength. So the other person is also dyslexic, has a hard time with other people, and I have a good time with other people because I had to rely my whole life on human contact because it couldn't fit into systems.
Wow. Okay. I really love how you've explained that too. And so when you're talking about dyslexia and dysgraphia and that sort of thing, you're talking about the fact is you're not living in the moment, or it's not about living in the moment. So, and I know that everyone, I shouldn't say I know that everyone, I know myself that as growing up as a child, I used to always get 5 and 4. Around the wrong way. And I'd always say it's 54 and it might have been 45. Or I'd say it's 45 and it might have been 54. It was only those two numbers that I used to always get around the wrong way. And sorry, it wasn't always, just sometimes. So I believe we all have this ability to not be in the moment in that sort of way. But the other aspect I wanted to touch on, and I know that I'm not asking you as an expert or anything else, but when we look at children with ADHD and these sort of situations, that they are sort of getting out of control. Is this part of that as well? Is this a part of not living in the moment, or are they actually in the moment and not liking it?
No, no, they're outside of the moment, and obviously they're not liking it, because when you're out of the moment, you suffer. When I'm in a mind construct of the future, that I say, okay, I got to make this podcast so that millions of people are listening, I'm out of the moment. When I say I want to have the most likes on this, I'm out of the moment. When I say I will do all these goals, then I'm out of the moment, because I'm focusing on the goal and I'm not experience the moment. It's not even enjoying the moment. Even if I have some horrible things happen these days, I would be in the moment to experience it and to letting them through me. And then I, you know, till they go away. Like if I fear, I go into the fear. I'm not going into the fear. I don't want to fight the fear. I just let that energy of fear through and experience it, because I know if I suppress it, I have no chance against fear. The same is you don't have it's very similar. You don't have a fear against systems, because on the other side of systems are also humans. So you are unconscious of that, of fear and the system and other humans. So you can't fight a system, because we are one as humans, and you can't find that. And emotions are not even your emotion. The fear could be your emotion that expresses itself to me, because energy goes the path of least resistance. So when we kill 200,000 soldiers in Ukraine and Russia, if you don't believe that we all feel that, you're not aware.
Yes. I absolutely get you. If you're not experiencing some of that in some way, shape, or form. Okay, so we're talking about this. If you're talking about dyslexia and those aspects of it, how would a parent see that coming through as a child, to be aware of it, mindful of it? What does that look like?
First of all, I think you a parent is so, because from 0 to 7, a parent is so entrenched in teaching a child to be human, what it means to be human, that the attention is not on the system. I know it's right now we get getting kids in the kindergarten when they're 4 or 5, but usually I think the parent, and then you don't care either, but in kindergarten you're not getting graded, you know. So I think you're not aware as a parent that when till school, till you have to enter your kid into a system, into a system that actually conditions the kid, because 99% of kids have this unique ability to fit in the human, realm. I'm talking about the human realm, right now. 99% of kids have a unique trait that they are the best they can be. And nobody's better than them. But after the school, we have 3% only that are gifted. So yeah. 3% are defined as gifted. So you get really outconditioned everything. And the dangerous point is, and this is not just for dysgraphia and dyslexia. What it is the kid gets, after just having learned what it is to be a human being from 0 to 7, gets into a stage. And by the way, I'm not educated. I had to repeat 3 classes. Everything is self-taught and self-researched. So when the kid comes, then finally he knows he's a human. Now, these time from 7 on or 6 on to 15, 18, it has to learn how to socially interact. And it's driven by the DNA to be a herd animal, right? We are part of nature and we are social herd animal. And in school, you learn that. And so what I had to fight for, I was very good with humans and I would speak of the class, but I had to repeat the class. So I was in this dichotomy that in systems I wasn't worthy, but in humanity, I was worthy. So And a lot of kids are like this. They are the good kids, but they're bad in school. And that has nothing to do just with dyslexia. I think a lot of kids that are good with humans, they are just not good in system. I mean, it's very that they get system accolades. You know, a jock, for example, that is a super athlete, obviously gets accolades, but those are phony. Those are phony because he is an athlete. He's system relevant. And people hook to him because he's system relevant unconsciously, because also every human is driven to be inclusive.
Okay, so when you're talking about the systems, yeah, you're talking about the school systems and you're talking about work systems and you're talking about society systems.
Religion, and, hospital, you're born in a system.
Yeah. So this is where the beauty of art that comes through, because art has no...
system, no nothing.
No boundaries, nothing. Yes.
No, when you go to, and I can prove this, go to an art opening. There is rich, poor. There's rich, poor, any gender, any sexuality. And the funny thing is when you go to an art opening, people don't even look at the art. They're just mingling because that energy of artistic expression nurtures the energy of humanity. And when you look at the world, everything is creative. Our podcasts, Australia, every country is a creation. It is a system. And in the system, it's funny that the highest form of creation, which is art, because it doesn't have a purpose, is 97% of artists in the world are poor on the poverty level. And that made me, write my fifth book, Smart of Art, which is separating into, like you said so well, into the product of art and the creation of art. And let me clarify what I mean by that. The product of art, the painting, the music, is a physical manifestation of the artist's conversation, which is with its non-physical self, that he has to create that piece of music, that piece of painting. So the more I have that conversation, it's like a skill, like an artist, the more you have that conversation with your non-physical, the clearer your expression of that conversation comes, the more it's recognized by humans, because every human has that muscle in himself, the creative muscle. And that's why people pay $1 million for a painting. Even it makes no sense in economic sense.
Okay. So it's all about the almost like the artist's language, isn't it?
Exactly.
How they are putting it across, yeah. How they are expressing themselves. And it's funny, Michael, I don't do art classes. I'm not an art teacher or anything else, but when I'm doing intuitive art readings, so what I ask my people that come to the workshop is they actually draw their happiness goal. I give them a bit of instructions, a bit of direction. And so many of them say, oh, I can't draw. I can only do stick figures. And I go, okay, do a stick figure, because we can do a reading on that. We can see what your intuition or like you say, your spiritual wisdom, we can see what they're actually, how it's actually guiding you. So it's not about what you're creating at the end. It's not about the product so much. Everyone can enjoy that or disagree with that or hate it. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. But it's what they're actually putting down on paper and how they're doing it and what that reading is all
Absolutely.
About.
I do the same thing. I can look at a kid's painting and can tell you the kid what it is. You know, I look at it. Because you get, let's say, Susan, I don't know you, right? Yes. Or I know you for a long time. Let's say this. I know you for a long time. And then you say to me, you know, Michael, I have a secret pleasure. I'm painting or I sing or I'm music. And I have had that not often, but at least 10 people in my life, because they know I know art and they talk to me. And I hear that music, I see the picture, I see the poem, and I'm flabbergasted how much more information I get out of a poem than I know that person. but I see a side of that person that the person hides. Like you say, they say, I don't want to write do a stick figure or whatever. When you see what they do, it gives you it's almost turbocharging the knowledge of that person.
Yes, yes. And I need to explain a little thing that happened to me, and because of how you're talking and what you're saying, it's really making sense now. I had an art teacher, and she was teaching me how to do this painting, and I got really frustrated in this painting. It was a beautiful scenery. I was painting it for my partner, and he'd only just lost his father, and this was his last photo that he had taken of this scenery that he was with his dad with. So there was a lot of meaning behind the picture. Mm-hmm. And I'm painting it, but getting really frustrated. It took me like 18 months to paint it. I got really frustrated in it because I didn't feel it was me. I felt like I had to produce this product, this piece of art, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do, because I wanted to learn how to do art for me, for me to learn, for me to go within. And it's really funny, it took so long, and everybody loves the painting, and it's beautiful, but it's all her language, it's all hers. And then I've actually got this great, huge big canvas, and I went, you know what, I'm gonna just stick on there whatever I want. And I did, and I've created these, and look, people could say it's almost childlike, but these big swirly colors that for me are my chakras, and how the information comes through the spirit into the chakras and to us. And I've created this very abstract image, but I love it. I don't care whether people like it or not. I have, every time I see it, I get my chakras open up, I get this beautiful feeling within. And I believe that's what you're actually saying. Yeah, with the artwork.
It teaches your conscious awareness. And actually, let me just tell you about squirreling art and stuff, and you feel open. That a lot of women do that. A lot of women artists make these clouds and color clouds and all. And what that is, what I found from my experience, is that is just before the unconscious opens. So I when I see a woman doing that, what you just explained, I say, keep painting on cheap paper and do as much as you can, because you will break through, and the real self of you, as in that non-physical part and the physical part, will come through. And it almost always does. I mean, I've never seen it not happening. So but women tend to do this. We have, you know, a lot of artists here in Laguna Beach, and they just do these colors and cloud-like things and in different beautiful, very aesthetic and stuff. And I said, this is just before the unconscious really opens, because yes, there's so much more in you than you believe. And that's also our chosen creation, that there's so much more in you than the system tells you that is in you. Everybody is limitless, I think. And if you create art, you get a touch of that limitlessness self. You also get a touch of heaven on earth. I mean, tell me if not a song or a play or a movie hasn't bewitched you, where you say, wow, this is, you know, especially in music, this is heaven on earth. If you want to experience heaven on earth, art is it, you know, and creating is more powerful than a product.
Yes, and as you say, when you're creating that art, you are in the moment. You cannot not be in the moment.
Yeah, you cannot think about your dog. You can't, you know, unless you're painting a dog. You know, but
yeah. So when we're looking at that, and you're saying that we need to keep on putting that down and putting those feelings down, and keep on experimenting and keep on developing and practice it, basically. And then we start to really, you will feel that moment. What does that moment feel like?
You need to, you missed one word.
Yeah.
You have to observe while you're doing it. You have to observe, if I'm doing this, this happens. Oh, I tried green. I never tried green. And all of a sudden it works. Why does it? You don't need to have the answers. Just ask the question. You know that your show is called Intuition. You just ask the question, and it will come to you. It will come to you while you do what? So when you say, and I know also why that picture didn't feel good for you, because it was a copy and humans are not copiers. Our grace is to make order. Our grace is not to copy.
Yes, yes. And I mean, the idea behind it and the love and devotion and everything else was there, but it was not where I needed to be. It was not
your form. It was not your form. It was a form of some of the system. Oh, just make that beautiful landscape, you know, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You are you. You're one of you. You can't be normal. You can't define. You are one of one, and you can't be normal. Because nobody can define normal. If you can define normal, we can all align to it, because our superpower number three is adaptability. And you can't, it's confirm, sacrifice, submit. And that those are not in the nature. In nature, you can't find confirm, sacrifice, submit. In the nature, it's only balance and adaptation. And that's why we need to even change the vernacular, separate the vernacular of fulfillment in the human realm is success in the system realm. We need to see the two separate, because they come into two intertwined. We don't use systems to help us. We submit to system, and that takes all our life energy.
Yes. Okay. And the other thing with when you're talking about with the art as well, I can remember saying to my partner, I remember saying it quite distinctly, I need to find out not necessarily what I'm good at, but what resonates with me. I want to find my style. And now I called it my style, but in fact, it's actually my language, isn't it?
It's you, not your language. Language is a system too. It is you. It is you. You an experiential you. And the experiential you manifest, you actually physically recognize and become aware of when you create art. When you create art, you come physically aware of your essence in the non-physical. So the non-physical, the piece of art and this creation, and when you milk the moment, every moment to moment, and try to figure out, okay, what am I doing right now? And just look what you do. You become aware of your essence. You become not aware of your image, but you become aware of your essence. Because say, oh my God, I didn't know why. I mean, I have this document. It's called the Artist Voice, and Voice with a capital V. And it's about figuring out what is your creative voice, which is a part of your essence.
Oh, right. I like that idea too. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want to know is how do we go about, so like, you know that I've done a little bit of artwork. I do a little bit of painting. And I've played music, and I'm always into the creative stuff, done the craft work, done all this bits and pieces. I love dabbling with different things. But what would you say, how would you assist somebody if they've never done anything? Because to get a canvas or a piece of paper or anything like that and start is really challenging. It can be really challenging because we've got to get past that
mind construct, the mind construct of the system defined and conditioned mind construct that you're living in.
Yes. Through that?
Okay, so you need to know you're driven to inclusivity. And then you need to know by that drive of inclusivity, you take in all this mind blabber of media, of society, of whatever, since you are born. So you have to put this away, because that creation that you do, the piece of art, that music, whatever you express yourself, the poem, is a test. See it as a test. See it, okay, I'm going to paint today and tomorrow I'll write a poem, and the poem has no formula. The poem could be bumblebee in the tree on a house. That is a poem. So you just let whatever, allow that conversation between your non-physical and the physical. You want to open that. You just, and that comes by allowing, observing whatever comes in, and then putting down on paper, on music, on a tape, on a voice recorder, whatever. Because you want to start that conversation. And it's not about the product. It's not about the outcome. You got to know that the system, that what we think as the art world is an art system. And the art system is always judging the art product. You're not even an artist if you don't, if the system doesn't say you have art, you're an artist. If the system doesn't say you're an artist, you're not an artist according to the system. So it took me 30 years of making art to actually accept that I'm an artist. When I filled out a new resume for a job. And then I said, I don't need anybody's acknowledgement because the proof is in the pudding. For 30 years, I'm doing art since I'm 5 years old.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So it's a matter of really just getting in there and starting.
It's never about the product. It's not in a relationship about a product. It's not about I get married. It is, let's just talk to each other. Let's take it day by day and milk the moment and experience the moment, not what it's supposed to be. I wouldn't even call it dating. If I want to go out with a girl, I say, hey, I really like you and I really feel good with you. Can we just go to dinner or just go on the beach or do something?
Okay. So it's because we so focus on the end result. It's not about the end result. It's the journey. It's about enjoying the moment as we go. Yeah.
Everybody says the journey, but nobody lives by the journey. Everybody speaks the words and it becomes a system in itself. Just be in the moment and take it baby steps by baby steps by right now. I totally enjoy and milk that moment with you, Susan. Mm. And if the people, the listeners get that, I'm not thinking about something else. So I try to give you anything that is rehashed and regurgitated. I give you something that comes purely from me, from my life experience, from not fitting into systems. And being a creative to think outside the system. And you know, Einstein said, you cannot create from the mindset of the problem at the solution. As a matter of fact, I say, why would you, this is what systems do. They have a problem and they fix the symptom. The symptom is a red flag that something else is rotten in that system. So you have to start learning to think outside of the box. And said, why are we really having this system in place? How can we better it? How can we make it more human adapt? And I say, not better it. I say, how can we more human adapt, nature adapt? Because we need sleep. We need our maximum output comes from balance. When we have sleep, when we have, when we listen to our body, when we have a period, when we have biorhythms, when nature has, seasons. So we need to honor that because systems can work 24/7.
Wow, I really like that. So most of your talk and what you've been saying, Michael, is all about not necessarily having to fit into the systems.
You can. Yeah. You are one of one, Susan. There's no chance you can fit into the system. You always have to sacrifice. You always have to adapt. And that's life energy. I'm not against system.
Yeah.
I'm just saying about the awareness of systems that you don't waste all your life energy and your time on that and wake up one day and say, you know what? I didn't live life. That's what's a lot of billionaires because they're so into system navigation and so busy that at the end of their life, they say never. Oh, I should have bought 20 more hotels and companies. What they say is, I should have been with my animals. I should have been with my friends. I should have called this person a couple of times. He always called me. That's what they're most thinking before they die. Mm. And we all have to die. I mean, that's not a depressing thing. It's a part of life. The existence, every living being is challenged. every human being is challenged. Every living being is challenged. The fungi in the woods, trees. Everybody is stressed. In order to live, you have to have that yang of challenge. Not meaning you have to sacrifice, you have to submit. You don't. You have to adapt, constantly adapt. And that can only happen in the moment. When you milk the moment, like what you do with me. You have no idea what we're talking about. But no AI could do that. If I put a computer there, no AI could do that. You're constantly adapting. And yes. I'm adapting to your questions because I have no clue what you ask me.
Yes, I'm going to throw a really crazy one in a minute. No, I'm not.
No, you can absolutely. I'm not afraid because I like to be challenged.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. It's really interesting. I love the idea of the, you know, how you put forward the adaption, because we do have to adapt. We have to constantly adapt. And yes, there is a lot of systems that we have to live in, but it doesn't mean we can't still live in the moment within those systems.
Exactly.
You know? And I mean, systems aren't like you say, aren't bad, not necessarily bad, but if we bring up a blank canvas and we look at that blank canvas and go, wow, I can't do a drawing. I can only do a stick figure because the system won't like it. Then we're sacrificing ourselves. Then we're not living in the moment.
And this blind, it makes you have a drive that, for example, to procreate, you are also DNA driven. That's why you're very sexually active between 15 and 28. But the drive to be inclusive, a part of the human fabric, you have forever.
Yes.
So because we grew up in society, we grew up. So what we think is inclusive and why we are embarrassed about our paintings or whatever we create or don't think we are good enough is because we are driven to be inclusive, but the inclusive body, the society, the businesses, the economy is very limited in judging. And that's why you become biased of what this is. But it is never a complete description of it. So if it's, you know, if the society needs right now, and you see that by woman, how women get perceived, right? Mm-hmm. In the 20s. You have no breasts, then you have this, then you are hourglass figure, then you are fat, then you have a big butt now, you know? Mm. It just, we change our perception according to society. Do you think anything in nature cares about this? No, yeah. Nothing, no animal cares about. And that's our guideline. Before you shame yourself and says, you know, I thought a thing, I got the boob job, I have big boobs, and now the boobs, they don't care about the boobs, they want a big butt. This is insanity. Okay.
Yeah.
So just go back to go to nature and say, only nature is that we are still, as far as I know, a part of nature. So it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant what the system says. The monopoly system says you need to make money. But in nature, you have value because you exist. And I always say this example because it's getting into your head. The elephant and the ant are worthy because they exist. Nature is classified by science and systems even that it makes no mistakes. It is sustainable 100% and it constantly adapts. Look at Chernobyl. Look at the Mayans. It just humans can eradicate themselves. Nature just goes over. That's why saving nature doesn't make any sense. Nature doesn't need you. We need the part of nature where it makes it sustainable for us.
Yes.
And if we stop through our shame, not focusing on others and say, listen, we have to behave in a way that humans that visit that planet for 100 years, you know, for 100 year increments, have the freedom to experience this beautiful world.
Mm.
Mm. Not, I need to save them that they can survive. I don't care about surviving. Surviving is not the target, but in the system it is, because it's measurable. And if I give you 20 years more, even though you suffer and you're unhappy, then we can sell it to you. So we have to care for, we have to really get that we are irreplaceable. Every human being is irreplaceable because it exists. We wouldn't exist. It's not about God. It's not about anything. We wouldn't exist if we weren't important, if we weren't worthy, like the ant and the elephant. Right? And nature wouldn't say, hey, I don't care about ants. Elephants are more beautiful. They are strong. They're big. They're the greatest. We just have elephants. Screw it. The giraffes look weird too. Let's just get elephants. That's not human. That's not. And that's why you really care for each other, you know?
Yeah, because it's not balanced. We're starting to get a little bit low on time now, Michael. Is there anything else you want to bring forward? Because I enjoyed that little bit, but we were going off on a different tangent, so I have to sort of bring it back, mainly because we were running out of time. But I love the idea of it's about necessarily living in the moment, even within the systems. We need to all basically keep that balance, but it's not a sacrifice. It's not, I really understand that. It's not about, like you say, saving the world. It's not about that. It's about enjoying the moment, living in the moment. But when you're enjoying it and living it, you're not trashing it for the rest of the world.
Also, it resolves. So if you have a problem and you feel the moment, you don't have to push that problem in the future and amplify it. So if I feel fear right now and I say, Susan, I feel fear right now, or I'm not telling you and I just feel it, I said, oh my God, I'm so afraid that this interview is going to go to hell. Then I would feel that feeling, but I will just keep going. You always move forward because you can't stop. Stop is death. Mm. You just keep, you know, stagnation, stop is death. Sometimes you need to recover, but that's not passive. That's very active. Recovering. Mm. You know, you had an accident and you recover is more active than when you had the accident.
Because when you're regenerating,
you're integrating that new energy that whatever happened and you haven't seen. And then you have to get a red flag, get an accident. And then you have to redo that. Yeah, you have to recover from that. So, and also milk the moment. Don't just go through the moment and say, okay, I can't wait to go to Hawaii tomorrow. That is not the way it's thinking. Because you say then Hawaii is better than this moment. But Hawaii is a mind construct. Hawaii is a mind construct of what you think Hawaii will be or what Hawaii has been. It's in the past or future. Cut yourself from past and future and milk the moment. What am I now experience with Susan? And you saw when I come, we connect right away. Boom. There's laughing, which all animals play. Yep. That's a human trait to connect. Yeah?
Absolutely.
You laugh, you joke, and you are outgoing. And we show it. As a matter of fact, people just look at this episode a couple of times. You get what I'm saying because I'm literally living what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's what I really enjoy about having these interviews that I'm having because I'm meeting new people all the time and you've got to be in the moment. You've got to be there. You're really focused on what you're doing. And I just love it. I get so much out of it. And you're picking up tidbits all the time from all these areas of life and your life and people's. So, yeah, because people have sort of said to me, why are you doing the podcast? You don't get paid for that. You know, you don't get any money for it. I call it, mate, you just don't realize what you
fulfilling.
Get.
Fulfilling. It's like an orgasm afterwards. It's like after. Yeah, but it is that during the whole interview. It's the fulfillment. Absolutely. And that's why I say, first, a superpower is art, creating art. Second superpower is dialogue, human dialogue, that exchange that is on so many levels, not just the words. And the third is adaptability. That's our three human superpowers, not for the system, human superpowers. And that's why I love Alex from Podmatch, because he really runs it like human. He's very humane, you know. And then he brought us together, for example. Without him, we wouldn't be together, you know.
Yes, that's Podmatch. That's how we do it. Yeah. Well, Michael, we have to say goodbye. Can you stay on the line? Because I want to have a quick chat with you before we go. But yeah, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome, and thank you for giving me, as I said, the canvas that I can paint.
Oh, beautiful. Hey guys, you've got to listen. Jump onto Michael's website. Now I had it on the ticker tape there, but if you are listening, there's a podcast. It is Michael. So MICHALL, and then M for his surname, .com. You'll find that there. It'll also be down underneath in the description as well. So you'll be able to link on there. And of course, he's got the book too on Amazon, which is The Smart of Art. I like that. A New Art Consciousness to Awaken Our Enthusiasm for Art. And you really do. You start when you start to get into painting and you start to get into writing poetry, playing a musical instrument, when we start to get into those creative sides of us, you just the hours just disappear, and you know when you're having a good time, the time always seems to go faster. And so we sit in this moment, and I'll have that paint in front of me, and I go, I don't know what I'm doing, and I just start doing it, and that's what makes that connection, as Michael was saying, to our higher self, to our spiritual side, which, as you know, that's to me, that's those intuitive messages, that's our intuition. And of course, that's why I do my, creative work, because I feel like I'm connecting with my intuition at the time. So jump onto his website, have a look at that. He does this awareness, he's got this awareness in art education too on there. Have a look at it, you'll really enjoy that. But that's it from me. Like, share, subscribe to the website to the podcast, and I hope you all have a wonderful week. I will be catching up with you next week again, and have a lovely 2020. What are we up to? 23. Oh my goodness. Have a great day, guys. Bye for now.